Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am back with Rowan and Ian. And today we're going to be chatting about whether you have too many employees, which I guess can feel a little bit counterintuitive because if you're busy, you need more employees sometimes. But I have a story to tell.
Ooh.
So.
I like stories.
Story time.
Yesterday I was in a cafe and I was sitting in the corner. I saw them come out with this really nice new leather chair. And
I heard sitting in the corner just thinking, oh.
Yeah, just with all my friends.
Were you the lady there with the laptop and bought one coffee for the day and sat there all day? Was that you?
You got a problem with that? So sitting there, they've come out with this new chair and it was a pretty chair. This employee's put it down, shifted around a couple of times, nodded to himself, gone out, gotten someone else. They've come back. This lady's then moved it to another location.
What sort of chair was this?
It was just this. The leather covered, I don't know.
Okay, so a fancy cafe chair.
Yeah, a fancy cafe chair. Yeah. And you sit down on it and she's had a look around. She's gone, yep, no, that looks good. And I thought it was done with. And I was like, okay, took two people to deal with the chair. Cool. All right, no worries. And I clearly must have popped out of my little brain break. Anyway, they've come back with two more employees. So we've got four people around. It's been moved a third time and this took 5 minutes. This moment, and it's been moved to another location closer to me. So I got a good look at it, sat around. Someone said, oh, well, what do I know? I don't even know about interior design, but hey, this looks better. And so after, what was it, 5-6 people, 3 different locations, we've got a place for this that I think will be moved when a customer comes and wants another chair added to.
Walks down in it.
Yeah. And then I look in front of me and everything clearly hasn't had the same amount of attention and you kind of go, oh, that's a lot of people for one chair.
Did you mess with them and just make comments? Oh, it doesn't actually
have a good thing. It's
terrible feng shui.
Yeah, no. I studied feng shui.
Oh, I actually, Instagram, room feng shui, very cool.
I'm just listening to this entire story and I'm like, can you pick the person who's not married? Because every time we get furniture, it moves 20 times before it's in the right spot.
That's not a married thing, mate.
It's not a married thing?
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
I mean, I move my chair around.
Do you?
I'm not married.
Yeah. Do you have someone else come in and go, that looks good, but...
No one would dare. That's my house.
The question is, does Lisa listen to the podcast?
No. So I'm really, really lucky. I can say what I want.
Anyway, so moral of the story, more people doesn't necessarily mean a better outcome.
Truth.
How long does this take to move this chair?
I mean, because I became quite invested in how many people would come out and I was actually hoping for more. I think it was about 25 minutes between the time of impact that chair made the floor to when it found its final destination. Now, I am going back cafe.
Wasted our time too.
You just dropped two movies as well, the final impact and final destination. It's outstanding.
So
I love this story.
I'm going back to that cafe either tonight or tomorrow, so I'm keen to see where that chair has made it. So
maybe they did that on purpose.
Oh, it was quite entertaining.
For those invested in the chair.
Yeah, that'd be
so
great.
So you can update in the comments.
Yeah. And it's moved.
Week by week.
Imagine an Instagram story from that coffee shop and then the chair's moved again and then they just do that and build an audience around that one
story.
Did you
test out the chair, like at least in it?
Yeah, like it's
you went in it, it was good.
It's good, yeah. But like...
In the wrong spot, clearly.
I would move it if I were them.
So
yes.
What day is that? That's a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's the normal wages. So if it's 25 minutes and let's say half of the time or
well,
6
when he does this,
that's allowing for the other time than not. So what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
Per person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because by the time they fluff around, get that, then get back to their work.
About an hour of wages, isn't it?
Yeah, we give them about $100.
Yeah.
Let's move a chair.
That will move again.
Do you reckon that will provide a benefit, cost to benefit ratio?
Absolutely not. No.
Might be a really good chair.
It was a good chair, but like by the
time they moved it every day for that same thing.
Exactly. So that $400.
$700 a week.
Oh. Killer.
One chair moving. One chair.
Absolutely horrible. Oh, poor people. I do love this cafe. It's a great cafe. But you look at it and I couldn't help but not talk about it because I know that this isn't the first time this would have happened, and that there's clearly too many people involved when...
So they're clearly not busy at the time.
They might have been busy.
They must have been busy, but they probably didn't get their jobs done because they said we've been busy all day.
Yeah, okay.
That would be the usual. People are often busy.
Yeah.
Don't like being standing around doing nothing.
Yeah. So they're just busy, just doing things that you as an owner doesn't bring.
Necessarily want. Yeah.
So it could have been one of those situations. My sister used to work as a waitress, and if they were quiet, they'd go out and wipe the walls or the mirrors and the tables because they had to be doing something. Mm-hmm. Where clearly that's an overstaffing problem because you've got too many people for that time period of day.
Mm.
Could be an example, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but I guess as a business owner, you want to be using people in a way that adds value, as in...
billable hours.
Yeah, exactly. Like what's actually bringing a return. And in the same respect, someone might actually believe that that's a better... Like everyone has different ways of doing things.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think we've talked about in podcasts before, if you're trying not to micromanage, you give someone a result that you want, don't micromanage how they get that, the process, basically. It's the outcome that you're wanting, but for one person, that don't over-collaborate on a chair.
That could have been a situation where the first person comes out and says, all right, well, I'm going to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. This is where the chair's going. If anyone doesn't like it, they'll say something.
Does it get the desired result? Yes. Cool. Carry on. Could have taken 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess there's a few underlying issues that you can watch for when you're in business, and that's the over collaboration. It could also be under stimulation. I mean, if your employees aren't necessarily interested.
The board.
Yeah.
It definitely slows things down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Filling their time with things that don't matter. That's not going to be good for employee morale. And like the point I was just making about the lack of clarity on what they're not empowered to actually decide what they're trying to do, basically. They don't feel like they have the authority to make that decision, so they need everyone else to come in and make that decision for them because
someone did this once and then the owner came in and said, ah, what have you done? So we get heaps of different opinions and try and make sure it's right. And then it's not just me that's put the chair in this one spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think a few recent client examples that, sort of support the theory of you can have too many employees sometimes. And for years they kept getting better service and doing more procedures to make sure that things weren't missed. And that was continual building. So you got to build the procedures and do the training and make sure things are ticked off and then measure them to make sure that they're done and all these things, that it could be more and more and more and more. And then...
Sounds like a government department.
No. We don't work with government. And anyway, we're looking at just the overall, okay, everyone's busy, you know, there's too much going on, things are getting missed, a bit out of control, hard to manage, you know, everyone sees we're working hard, everyone's stressed, everyone's unhappy about it. But then just looking at their budget, it was like they had more admin people than productive people in the business. So they had 8 productive people and 8 admin. I was like, well, how does that make sense? You used to have 6 productive people and 1 admin doing all the quotes and all that sort of stuff.
Heads up, doesn't it?
So how did we end up with the same numbers? And I was like, we need it. But it fundamentally just didn't make sense. And then at some stage we sort of broke the cycle and then got rid of pretty much all of the admin and just changed systems, which was the fancy system, changed it to a simple system and lost out in a few areas and then basically cut back everything that wasn't essential in the delivering value to a client list. So there's lots of things would be nice and they were checks and balance, make sure bad things didn't happen, but it was fundamentally, is it valuable to a client or not? And then they've been getting by with 2 admin people, getting more done. And then obviously that's a pretty big change to the bottom line.
Mm.
And then now the owner's working less than they were before.
With more admin.
With less
than that. Then they had more admin.
Yeah,
they
correct. Were more. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's one we had. And I know our business, once we went down 30% in people, we grew 50% in income in a 12-month period, which was, you know, the same sort of thing of investing in growth and resource development. But sometimes that can be too much and then it slows everyone down. And then we had another client recently as well. They had two admin people plus one of the owners was an admin, and they had a sales rep, and the sales rep left. They were unhappy with them, then they left. And then one of the admin people left, and they were not sure how they were going to deal with everything. And then the owner that was in admin went sales, and the other admin person's just doing the admin, and they changed the systems around a little bit.
They're killing it.
Going way better. They're getting everything done with time left, and the results are a billion times better.
Was that a conscious conversation, or was that just a natural progression?
What do you mean?
In regards to, okay, something's not right. We're going to sit down and find out what's the problem. Say the one that had the same amount of admin to productive staff.
Yeah.
Do they sit down and they go, righto, why aren't we making any money? We've got all these admin, we've got all these stuff, what's going on? Or is it just a natural attrition?
Well, I think it was the continual building up of the policies and procedures and the person doing this and doing the check, or, you know, we got in trouble for that, like you mentioned before, so now we're going to make sure we do that right, or,
yep.
You know, and then people, maybe it's too mundane and they get bored, and then they slow down a little bit, or they make silly mistakes. And then there was just a comedy of errors when people weren't necessarily driven, or we were adding procedures that didn't matter. But the fundamental thing with the owner was that, yeah, we're all busy. We can't possibly change that. We need more of anything.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's the obvious thing that you can see is everyone's busy and everyone's stressed and the people are unhappy and they want to leave. But then the sort of weird thing is that that last example we gave, a couple of people left. The admin person was probably unhappy with how they were performing. They're probably thinking they were mucking things up, maybe. Maybe they thought the owners weren't doing things right. Maybe they were making all mistakes and they're blaming the owners. Who knows? But in reality, they were the issue. It was just complicated with two admin people doing one job, whereas one person could do it better.
And the one person's probably going to have their time go quicker because they're more engaged in their job anyway.
Yeah, and get better at it.
Yep.
So it's just an interesting one because we see it quite often, and most people don't believe it. Or we talk to the business owner and they're like, nah, there's no way. Like, yeah, I understand what you're saying and do whatever, but there's no way.
This is the way we've always done it.
No, not that. It's just that. We're all busy. Yeah, I'm busy, they're busy, everyone's busy.
They're all saying they're busy.
They all look busy.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think that's right for us. That's the thing. And then sort of it happened. So that last example, I think the salesperson left. They weren't expecting that. Like, oh, what do we do? And it was a newer client for us. So there wasn't a continual plan to make it happen. We had to review certain things, which is fast track some of the reviews. And then the admin left and was like, I've changed a few systems, see what happens. And it was like, oh, this is actually works better. So sometimes you're sort of forced upon the change. Another client, another one of the examples, they were sort of forced upon the change. And then you come out the other side and like, oh, there you go.
That was all right.
But then for everyone else who's not forced to make the change,
yeah,
they probably have the same issue, whether it's there's too many salespeople, there's too many people waiting customers. Like I was in getting a coffee on the way to Launceston the other day by myself because no one came with me. And
got me right in the heart.
I think I waited about 20 minutes for this takeaway hot drink.
Oh, wow.
And they were, you know, they had enough people on service. There, one girl was taking orders and doing things. It was busy in there. And the girl making the coffee was slow, but been going past there for a few months now. And the girl's been there the whole time.
It was a bit later in the day.
She'll be a bit faster. She'll be a bit faster than she is. And she's making sort of one at a time. And she'll look at the tab and figure it out again. And she'll clean everything. And then she'll make another one. And they've got a big coffee machine.
Did they have a chair?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Might
have been the same place.
Oh, I didn't even get that till then. What's talking about? And yeah, it's one of those ones where they had enough staff on, but then some people were running around like mad and some people were going really slow. And then the unhappiest customers were just waiting for a hot drink.
Sounds like it might have been a Sunday.
Yes.
More money, less productivity.
But you go to other places, other coffee shops, and you've got 30 people waiting. And there's like coffee coming every 30 seconds, you know, like so.
Well, some of the places that just specialize in coffee as well. Some of those sort of hole in the wall coffee shops, their productivity is amazing. You watch two people behind the coffee machine.
Coffee machine, yeah.
And you just, wow.
Yeah. So, well, where am I getting to with that? It's like that business would be one where you look at, oh, we didn't have enough staff to wait until times were too high. It's like a cafe as well. So we need more staff on when it's busy, but do we need that? Or do we actually need a better process or better training or a better person? Oh, the person costs too much, but what if they're working so much faster?
Might cost an extra $2 an hour, but they're pumping out five coffees in the time that person makes one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we talk about resources or talk about resource capacity maybe. So sometimes we think we need more employees for more resource because we need more capacity, but maybe we need to increase our capacity in another way, possibly, which I think that gets to when you get too many, then everyone's doing the wrong thing and everyone's trying to fill their days and then that becomes the new norm. Mm. It's like that story with, you know, the monkeys that got put in a room and then they climbed the ladder to get whatever and they'd get water poured on, I think, and then they replaced all the monkeys and then eventually they wouldn't climb the ladder because everyone knew it was bad, but no monkey had actually seen it before. So if people come into your business and everyone's inefficient, they're not doing the wrong thing, but they're working on things that don't matter, then everyone that comes in gets trained to do those things that don't matter. And then you get to that situation of
people know why they're doing it.
Yeah, we're not driving the business forward and everyone thinks they're doing a great job. And then the owner's upset because the end result's not happening well enough.
Mm.
And then people are frustrated and leave. So I think that's where you get to that situation.
So when you go in and you audit a business and you recognize that this is happening, those conversations with owners must be interesting. In regards to here's the advice, and the owner's like, well, there's no possible way we can get rid of five staff. How do you approach that? Just a question without notice.
Oh, it's sort of like it's an argument. You've got to, I guess they've got to see how that's practical.
Yep.
You've got to see the issue first, though.
Yeah, you got to see the issue first. So it's probably not more a discussion review to get to that point. It's more you can identify things like that budget. Obviously, having the same admin to productives, not possible. Well, it's possible. It's not suitable. Mm. So, okay, well, we need to look into that.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, if they're seeing one thing every day, they're feeling one thing every day and they're under the pump, well, it's pretty, yeah, you've got to make a pretty good case as to how that's going to be different. But it's also a pretty brave thing for them to try, because if they cut it down and it doesn't work, like, there's more work for them.
Yeah, because you're essentially talking about incorporating change, and people don't really like change. In my experience working with businesses that pay crazy amounts of money and then sort of don't take your advice, it's like, well, what did you hire me for?
But I think it's focusing on what the end result needs to be. So, you know, the case for the admin to productive would be, okay, well, the end result is we need more productive people to get admin. So, okay, well, the level's going to be this. How could we make that happen? Mm-hmm. Get them involved in what would need to change.
Yep.
Before that, in figuring it out, when I said identify the issue, there's little hints that you see. It's the... we're getting things done, but there's a lot of problems. They're constantly stressed. They're pretty unhappy. Yeah. There's all these like little...
going to do that job.
Yeah. Who's going to do it? Clues that you see that, well, there's the admin roles. Who's doing what? Oh, well, we all do that.
Yeah.
Why are you all doing that? Well, because we need to do this. And no one's sort of given authority to make small decisions.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a top-down...
yeah.
Issue.
All people get into authority as far as that admin role. That is a big job. You just don't understand what that job is.
Yeah.
You inflate it.
Yeah. I was sitting with other consultants yesterday and we're going through like this business's bookkeeping. It was miles behind. It was pretty straightforward. We're sorting it, you know, while we're talking, we're getting a lot of it sorted. And we're like, yeah, number one, we've got to work with this lady because they're not going to get rid of her. It's a relation. And we've got to work with this lady to get up to speed. We're going to process some training and, you know, and then just like, oh, well, she's working 20 hours a week, so there's definitely capacity there. And we're like, yeah, okay, we're sorting out 3 months worth of problems in like an hour. So, yeah, people think the job's bigger than it is because they don't understand it.
Yep.
Can be part of it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you can get them focusing on what would need to change, so it's easier for them to change when they have to, whether people leave or another reason, right? So a conversation with the client once, like, okay, we're going to change this, we're not going to order this in ourselves anymore, we're not going to stock it, we're not going to change this, so we're going to order the freight because we're saving money, saving the freight. So we're going through all these different things that they were doing to save money and, you know, make things more efficient or effective or reduce damage. We're not going to do any of that anymore because we're going to get rid of everyone and then we're just going to have a few people and get the stuff from here. And they're just going to get it and give it to us that day. I'm like, why don't we just do that now and keep all the people? Because then we don't have any of that admin cost, but we have way more productive capacity. We still get the same.
Yep.
But then you can sort of understand how they get to that point because each decision made sense, but then putting them all in practice.
Accumulates.
And then one thing wasn't working and it was them causing problems and then friction. If you just go back to something that's not quite optimal, but it's super efficient and easy to manage, they put that in place and it's like happy days.
So is there like a magic wand kind of have a look at your business and have a light bulb moment? If you probably might think everything's going well, but you're not making money, or there might be another signify that you might be overstaffed? Is there any
magic wand?
Yeah. It's never a magic wand.
Yeah, that's kind of everyone's chasing.
The way I see it is you become very, very comfortable in what it is that you do day to day because you've gotten to that point with the best intentions. You've made these decisions. It leads to 4 admin people and they're all doing their role. I'm trusting them because I employed them because, and it sort of becomes this environment where you're like, this is the best I could do, but something's not working and something's going against the grain. I don't like it. And that's, I guess, why an outside perspective is always helpful because then you have someone who will challenge it. And in some cases, it might be a business owner's partner who goes, well, that doesn't make sense. Why are you spending money on that? And they could be very, very right. And if your gut reaction is, oh, well, that's the way we always done it, then
Can also, probably, this is why it's really a messy one, because it could be the other way around.
It could.
The business owner's wife could be like, you're never, you're busy, you're working at home at night, you need more people, you just need to get admin.
Yeah.
That's what everyone else says. Just put an admin person in. It's pretty straightforward. Put an admin person. I'm still busy. Put another one in.
Yeah.
It can work both ways.
Yep.
So I guess it's not a silver bullet, but the fundamental is you need a business model. So who do we have? What roles do we have? What resources can we afford? And then how do we make that model work with that? So if you're always coming back to that and what you're doing's different, then how can you get that in place?
Yeah.
You can do an audit and look at, I know it's hard in the admin space because what they do doesn't necessarily generate income, but you can look at what makes an impact. So if they're spending a lot of time on organising morning teas as opposed to processing invoices.
Or letting customers know when their delivery is going to be.
Yeah, then that's two different impacts.
Hmm.
Both are important because one's for culture and one's for customers, but in a hierarchy of importance.
We're all busy about internal culture and no one's calling customers.
Yeah.
So then customers are always upset and then they have problems all the time. We don't have culture because the customers are always at us and we're not going to have customers, but everyone's really happy because we're doing the right things culture-wise.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all sitting around a desk and like, oh, where's the next dollar coming from? We've got no customers left. Mm.
I've been hearing about someone's training recently, personal leadership and leadership training in an organisation, and they got a choice to do a project for a group project to benefit the organisation as part of it, and it's on well-being. And I keep laughing when I hear about it because, you know, well-being is important, of course, you know, don't get me wrong. But if it's a little leadership.
Little snapshot into business abundance culture, right? Okay?
Well-being. But if we're learning about leadership and stuff, we've got a group of leaders.
Yeah.
And we're just doing projects on like, oh, how can we make it nicer for people and, you know, just to make sure everyone's, you know, well off and blah, blah, blah. Like what on earth's happening for the actual leadership or the function of that business?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, but we need to actually be practical and do our jobs too.
Yeah.
So it's really funny because then the frustration for the person training is they went to one session and it was about leadership and well-being. It was an update on both. And then they talked about what do we want to talk about first? They said leadership because they had some training to do outside of it. A few people hadn't done that. So like, oh, let's do well-being. So talked about well-being for the full session and then spent a minute on leadership. And I think that's probably a pretty good example of what Z saying. You go down, are we doing the important things? We're all focused on this thing. Everyone's happy to be on board working together, but then just sort of snowballs out of control. Everyone's doing the right thing, but what is the right thing?
Mm.
I had the opportunity my second job was for a large hardware company, a very large hardware chain in Australia, and they were opening their first large store, I'm trying not to say warehouse, in Adelaide. And there was 120 staff were all employed at the same time. And we all had essentially into the CBD for a week's worth of training and culture and personality tests. And one of the key things that I remember from that was how tight a team we were, but also one of the things that was sort of rolled down from management was, you guys are all new employees. We've been doing it this way for ages. You're going to have fresh eyes. Because with managers that come from other stores around the state or from around the country, you're going to have fresh eyes. If you see anything, speak up, because you might have better ideas. And I thought that was a really good thing until it came into practice when you did see things and the management were like, no, we've always done it this way. What are you talking about? In a new concept for the stores as well, like having those warehouses instead of just little corner
hardware
stores.
That that would flow on heaps to small business as far as, okay, oh, no, we should do it this way. Oh, no, 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 we've got that in place because we marked this up once.
Yep.
So we're not going to do that. We'll change that. Then, add on to that voice of, okay, we'll check out, we'll just do that. And then, we get unhappy, we leave. They're not going to buy in. They're not going
to
work.
Yep.
Work hard or, be efficient, that it's going to cruise through and knock off.
It was an interesting process for, I might have been 18 years old at the time, I think. So way back then, Z. But
did they have warehouses back then?
No.
Well, it was the first one in South Australia, so I think it might have been the second one nationally. It's an interesting thing to get exposed to, I suppose, because that's a multinational owner who has this arm of their business and they've imported these processes from somewhere. And just to see the onboarding process of taking a week with new staff, paying them, and 120-odd new staff at this one site, and I assume they replicated that for every new site around the country. Not everyone's going to have that budget, but you could kind of implement that at a micro level.
Yeah.
Culture's a big thing, I think, in any size business. Even if you're a sole trader, you can have days where you're don't really want to do this. But if you've got a solid purpose in front of you, and if you if you want to move a chair, for instance, you don't need to get 27 different people to come and validate your decision.
There's a few things, I guess, worth reflecting on when it comes to, the case of the chair. The first one being, have you created a culture where any activity needs multiple sets of approval or opinions? Like, that's the first thing. Can anyone make a small decision? Yeah. Like, are they empowered?
Do I need to look at a flow chart?
Oh, you're decisions? Like, just from my experience, making a judgment call, they feel like they'll get in trouble if they make the wrong decision for something as simple as a chair. So that's why everyone's got involved, because everyone's too afraid to do the last
stuff,
which is ridiculous.
It's band-aided with, I don't know.
So they're getting in trouble over probably things that don't matter that can cause all those issues straight away.
Yeah.
But how do you avoid that?
Go listen to our micromanagement podcast episode.
So looking at you, how do you know if you've got too many employees or not? So how are they inefficient? You can check against other businesses, other practices. Obviously, get people in. Like, we know a bit more about systems and what's possible, what people are up to, or AI, or, like your accountant at Xero, and you've got HubDoc to automatically do bills, and then people are still manually writing them in, into their little books. So, get someone that's up to date to show you what's possible and then go, okay, well, we could probably do that. But I think also just looking at what the value chain is. So if you can break down your core bit of your business, so, maybe we sell trailers to people, right? So, okay, what happens? We order goods in, we forecast how much we think we need, we order goods in, we receive them, put them somewhere, and then we get inquiries from customers. We need to send some information, have a chat to them, get them to sign up, and then we need to let them know how long it's going to be till they can grab it. We need to put the trailer together, and then give it to them. That's a core process of our business. That's all we need to do in our business, really. That's it. So, what bells and whistles do we put around that? So maybe some nice communication. We're going to notify them here, here, here. We're going to send an email here, here, here. Then what else do we really need to do? So anything in addition to that, we're probably just wasting time. So even if you've got an existing business, you can look at that value chain. What's providing value to a client? What do we actually need to do? Break it back to that and go, how far different are we? What can we just pull out and stop doing?
I think that's the major benefit of employing an external eye or a consultant in this situation, because the consultant's going to come in, they're not emotionally attached to the business. They can look at it and go, you sell trailers, why are you doing this over here? And at times that's exactly how Rowan will say it. What are you doing? if he already knows you. But that's advice that is needed, I think. And I've said this on many podcasts, the amount of times that Rowan's gone, what are you doing that for, you moron?
I don't call you those bad words.
And Z's response right there says that's a lie, but it's needed at times. And whether you've got that internally, you've got that sounding board internally, or you have to get that from external sources, it's not a bad idea to have a pulse check on your business, I think, because you might think it's all going well and you're leaking money and year over year, and then all of a sudden, oh, wow, what happened to the business? But it's been happening for 3 years, and now it's at a point where we need to make drastic change, as opposed to keeping your finger on the pulse and, probably don't need that extra admin person, and that salesman's actually not even covering their wages.
Yeah. The thing that I do, for us, is like you just keep perspective of what other people do. Yep. So you don't need to know detail of their business, but if you know, like, one business is doing 100,000 times what we're doing,
yep,
and managing it, like, you can't go, oh, that's not possible, that's too hard, or not going to work. It's like, okay, well, we're obviously overcomplicating it.
If it's someone else, it can be done.
Someone's doing it way that much more. It's obviously a lot simpler than we think. Whereas I think everyone else goes, oh, it's way more complicated to be able to do that. Like, oh, that's way out of reach. And it's probably, no, to do that, it's actually going to be simpler. So just give yourself some frame of perspective to go, well, do I need to overcomplicate it?
Hmm.
And that's always been good, I find, as a reference.
Yeah. And the other thing, I think, probably the last bit, is where you need to be able to give responsibility to the people that you have employed to make small decisions.
And empower them.
Empower them. That's right. And the example that comes to mind is where an admin team ended up putting together a social media campaign. The only thing that the manager said was, this is the impact. I want this much reach and I want this many conversions. Do whatever you need to do to get that. And they did it probably in the most unconventional way. I think they were Gen Z or something like that. And the owner was like, well, that's not how I would do it. Anyway, they reached that, excelled the impact that they wanted. Even if it's not how you would go about it, you've got to be able to let your employees do their job.
The outcome, not the journey.
If we actually did a episode on that as well.
The young lads at the cricket club. Oh yeah. No experience whatsoever out of school and smashed it.
Yep. That's I wrote something about that. Let your employees are adults or something like that. Yeah. Wrote something about that.
Yeah, they were keen to do it.
So yeah.
All right, if you're keen to do it, go nuts.
Yeah.
I think that keenness and enthusiasm goes a lot further than
absolutely
passion, a bit of experience.
Exactly. So, yes, if your team needs five people to decide where a chair goes, it's probably worth looking at. If
unless
you have too
you're
many employees,
design company, I suppose maybe you might have several sets of eyes.
I wonder if that the owner of that cafe listens to the podcast, so they'll be like, when was that recorded?
Yeah. When did she come in?
I remember that chair. We've got another one. It took us an hour because now there were two.
Yes, let's hope not. Anyway, all right. We'll leave you on that, everyone. We hope you have a good week and we'll chat to you next time. See you.